Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1 and 15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer. First Peter 1 and 15.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
It's not on there.
Oh. Because that's muted. It's muted. See, it's muted.
Send us a thumbs up if you can hear us.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
No, we're going to go on and teach that.
Yeah.
Go type in Blog Talk Radio.
Unmute. Hello? Say something.
Okay.
Start talking.
All right. We're starting a program warning to the church, beware of false prophets. You know, we're living in some interesting and dangerous times on today. Did you hear something?
Just real static. What was that microphone?
Right here.
Check your microphone. Just stop talking.
You were having some technical difficulties here. We're working it out. But we believe that it's going to go forth in Jesus' name. So, amen. We're going to get right into the word. As I said before, we're living in interesting and dangerous times. And look like a lot of things are being done. Look like folks don't understand the difference between right and wrong these days. And we're going to go into some things. Like I said, our subject of our program on tonight is warning to the church, beware of false prophets. We have a list of scriptures that we're going to go into on tonight. Amen. And we come against these spirits and things that's trying to come against the church. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to Isaiah 5 and 20 because of the times that we live in. It says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, it's interesting that there are so many things that's going on today. A lot of people, they don't know who they are. They don't know what to call themselves. We got this the pronoun issue going on. People don't know if they're men or women. They don't know what they are. They're calling evil good and good evil. They're calling darkness light and light darkness, and they're calling sweet bitter and bitter sweet. It's a confused situation right now, but we are living in end times. There's a whole lot of false things going on, false pastors, false prophets, false teachers. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on these days. But we're going to go directly into the word. Matthew 15 and 20, this is Jesus talking, and he said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. But Jesus said this. He said, you shall know them by their fruits. Said, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is what? Is cut down, hewn down, and what? And cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. All right? There, then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Now, that was a particular movie that come out talking about Christ, and he's acting like He covets Jesus. He wants to be like Jesus, but he doesn't want to do the things that Jesus does. He's in it for the money. He's a false prophet. He's a false Jesus. He's another Jesus. He's not the true Jesus. He's false, but he's going forth in this movie acting like he is. And nothing is working for him, but he's still going forth in that light. So we're going to go a little further. In Matthew 24:24-25, it says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible," it's not possible now, people of the Most High God. He said, Jesus said, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And Jesus said, behold, I have told you before. Now, these are things that Jesus was speaking of that was going to happen in our time. It was going to come to a full head in our time. It was going on then because it was people, there's always been false prophets. But there were people speaking against Jesus at that time. They said he was false and he was the Son of God. So he was speaking of things that was going to happen in the distant future in our time. So that's where we are. All right. That's where we are right now. And then it says in 1 John 4, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now, that was then. That was some 2,000 years ago that just was said. So if this was said some 2,000 years ago, where do you think we are now? Think about this a moment. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world." It's already in the world. "So you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So, in other words, the Spirit of God that dwells in us will alert us to things that is false. Of course, we still need to read and study the Word of God, because that is where our knowledge comes from, and that is where our discernment comes from, because we compare things to the Word of God. And by the Spirit of God, it will give us the real fruit, like Jesus said, the real fruit of this individual. Now, I'm going to say this, just like the word of God says. Now, some of these false prophets and some of these false teachers and some of these people that are moving under a false spirit, they can say things that are true. But Jesus said, check their fruit. So if somebody tells you something that is true, and then they go and do something contrary to the Word of God that goes against what they said, that individual is not true. Because you have people that go under various spirits. They go various familiar spirits. They have connections with the enemy, and the enemy studies us, and he knows some of the things that we do or say, because he studies us. So you have various people that connect with these evil spirits, and the spirits tell them things. That yes, these evil spirits tell people things about people, and it looks like it's true. It seems like it's from God. It seems like it's by the Holy Ghost, but it's not. But then, because of that, they will lead you away from Christ. They will lead you away from the Word of God, and they will thrust you into error. That's the reason why we have to study the Word and know the Word. That's the reason why we have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the reason why we have to try, hallelujah, trust God and stay in the Word. All right? We got to do that, because that's the only offense we have against the enemy and false prophets, because false prophets use the Word, but they twist the Word. They'll have an element. They might have 99 parts truth, but they'll have one part error or one part that is a lie, and then you get caught up in that, and then you'll be going down the wrong path. Like Jesus say, you'll know the tree by the fruit that it bears. Jesus said, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. But then you say, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is cut down and is cast into the fire. Jesus say, you know the wherefore by their fruits you'll know them. You know the tree by the fruit it bears. You're not going to go to an apple tree and pick peaches off of it, okay? Neither will you go to a peach tree and pick apples off of it. There are two different trees, you see. An apple tree can only produce apples. And a peach tree can only produce peaches. That's it. That's it. All right? I just wanted to bring out that analogy. So Jesus, he was bringing that out like that so that we can easily understand it. Now, John 2, 2 John 1, 7 through 11 said, for many deceivers are entered into the world. Now, Jesus said this, John said this back then, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and there's some people that does that. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. What is the doctrine of Christ? The doctrine of Christ is the word of God. And the example that Christ left when he lived on the earth. The fact that Jesus Christ came on the earth, he lived, he taught, he died, he was buried, he was resurrected on the third day that made a way for us to have eternal life, that is the truth of the gospel of Christ. And Jesus taught the kingdom of God while he was on this earth. And then he passed the baton over to his apostles, his disciples, and his disciples taught the word of Christ. All right? And then not only that they teach the word of Christ, the Holy Ghost came upon them and they spoke the word according to the Spirit of God. And it was truth. And it was deliverance. And it set people free. And it caused people to accept the sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for their salvation. That is the truth. That is the word of the living God. And that is where false teachers and false prophets twist it. They twist that thing. And they start throwing in some of the likes and dislikes. That's one of the reasons why I just like to give the word of God. Because when I give the word of God, then I'm not giving anything of myself. It's just the word. Now, if I give something of myself, it's going to be of the things that God has done for me. It's going to be a testimony of the things that God and Christ has done for me and my life. But it's not going to be any of my opinions or any of my anything like that. Because when you start going off into your likes and dislikes and your opinions and all this kind of stuff, it's not good. It shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be done. Now let me do this here. And say, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. It says, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Evil deeds. So it's saying you don't associate people when you know they're false. And this is not a judgment. But when you know somebody is dealing in something that is contrary to the word of God, contrary to the doctrine of Jesus Christ, then you don't deal with them.
So I got a question, Bishop. So What about if you're sitting in a church, you know they're teaching false doctrine, you a believer, So explain to the people why it is imperative that they know the truth. They know the word, like you said earlier, about discernment.
Mm-hmm.
So bring that out. Could you bring that out, please?
Well, the thing about that, the teaching that you sit under, the things that you listen to, and the things that you take into your spirit and soul, you start to go that way. So if you're sitting under somebody who's teaching something contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, contrary to the word of God, that very teaching and doctrine will connect to your soul. And so when that happens, then you will be following and going that same way, the same way of that false teacher. It's like a cult. You'll start to believe that falsehood, and you'll get caught up in that, and you will need the Lord to get you out of that. Now, if you know better, if you know you're being taught wrong, then the best thing to do, if you don't agree with that, is to move on. Don't stay in that, because it will deceive you and cause you to lose out on the truth of Jesus Christ. It's like poison. Now, you can take a lot of poison at one time and it'll kill you instantly. It'll just kill you right off. But they say you can take arsenic in small amounts and you won't die right off. You won't. You'll live a little while, but you'll keep getting sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker until you die.
Yeah,
so that's what happens with false teachings,
mm-hmm,
and false prophets. You'll get in the spirit, and your soul, man, will get sicker and
mm-hmm
sicker and sicker and sicker until you just fall completely out of Christ.
Amen.
And so that's why you have to be careful. It's best to get out of there.
Yeah.
Now, listen to this. 2 Timothy 3 reads, "This know also, now we are in the time
mm-hmm
that these scriptures
last
are bringing out.
Amen.
We are in the last days." You can look on a lot of different channels. You can look at a lot of different programs, listen to a lot of things, and you'll hear stuff, and you'll see things that is completely contrary to the word of God, and people are still sitting there eating that crap up.
It's mess. Dumb.
Horrible.
Amen.
But if you read the script, if you read the word of God, you won't fall under that. Remember it says that the deception will be so great that if it were possible, the very elect could be deceived. If it were possible. It's not possible when you are connected to Jesus Christ, when you are studying his word, and you have the Holy Ghost within you. Because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, will alert you to what is false and not of God.
And some of this stuff, Bishop, like, you know, a lot
mm-hmm
of stuff on YouTube,
mm-hmm,
and the Holy Spirit will say, turn that mess off.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so much deception.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be bringing it on a little bit later, but things that people is taking into their spirit,
mm-hmm,
a lot of this, and we believe in casting out demons.
Yeah.
Let me put this disclaimer out there. We do believe in casting out devils. But we are not making a profit out of casting demons out. Now, casting demons out should be something everybody in the church should do because you're a believer.
Yes.
It shouldn't be just designated to one particular person.
That's right.
But if you're equipped with the Spirit of God, he said, you shall lay hands on the sick.
And they shall recover.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the reason I'm going this way, the way I'm going, is because I love to bring out the word.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about what I found out is that when you study the Bible, when you read the word of God, it has answers for all of your problems.
Amen.
I'm serious. When you read the word of God, it has answers for all of your problems, but you have to read it. You have to study it.
You have to. Just like you're doing
yeah
in college or whatever. We had to study for exams and
yeah
ooh, write theses and
yeah
essays. And so
yeah
if you do that in the natural, how much should you do it in the spiritual?
That's right. You got to do it. And that's how you can be aware of false prophets. And the warning is the church is to beware. Mm-hmm. To beware of false prophets. Now, you can't beware of them if you don't know what they are. If you don't know who they are. If you don't know how they act. You don't know what they do. You don't know what they say because you haven't read the Word of God. It's in there. Let me go to 2 Timothy 3. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Listen to this here. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. What does that sound like where we are now? Interesting, isn't it? Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And what is the knowledge of the truth? The knowledge of the truth is the knowledge of Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Deliverer, and that he is the Son of the living God, and he is real.
But why would it say, you said, silly women? Mm-hmm. Why did he identify them as such?
He identified them as such because those kind of women are the women who are, how you say, they are gullible, but they fall under the pretext of false teachers and false prophets. And so many times they worship those men,
mm-hmm.
you see? And they fall under the guise of these people, these false preachers, false prophets.
So it's harder for a man
mm-hmm.
to accept the what we used to call it, rope-a-dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rope-a-dope. Yeah.
The man gonna study you out because man to man, but women. I'm speaking from myself, ladies. We can be so emotional. I mean, he may look good. He may wear an Armani suit. He may have smooth talk. You know, back in the day, and I'm gonna bring up. We used to have this old slick preacher. What was his name? Reverend Ike. I mean, he was good looking. Hair would be processed. This back in the 60s and 70s. But he was a smooth talker. I mean, and he'd say, send for the prayer cloth. And he would tell you, if you don't do nothing for the blessing plan, meaning money, the blessing plan ain't going to do nothing for you. So they had these poor people, poor women, sending these, want a piece of his cloth. Just to put on their son or their daughter. See, all this been going on a long time.
Yes.
This is why the Bible says in the last days, but this has crept into silly women homes because they don't know the word.
That's right.
So every smooth talker, we call them what, snake oil salesmen?
Because
mm-hmm. they talking some smooth talk. They look good in the pulpit. They smiling all the time. And you falling for the rope-a-dope.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not studying the word.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Look, I wanted to bring out something. In 2 Timothy 3 and 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but
mm-hmm.
denying the power thereof, from such
turn away.
Now, when it says a form of godliness, it says they put on a facade. They're actors. They're hypocrites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it said, but denying the power thereof, it means that they're not allowing the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God to move in them, to cleanse them, to live right,
mm-hmm.
and to speak right, and to do what is right, because they're not right. Mm-hmm. They have a form of godliness. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are deceitful workers. They are demons or foul spirits who come as angels of light, but they are not angels of light. They deny the power of God to do what God would have them to do. Now, I'm going to go into 2 Timothy 4, 2-3 says, preach the word, be then in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For listen, for the time will come, and it's already here, and it was there too, but it's really here now. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, and this, the time is right now, when people will go to somebody that's teaching and preaching what they want to hear. They're not so interested in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. They're not so interested in the word of God. They're not so interested in coming close to Christ and being more Christ-like. They want somebody to preach to them what they want to hear.
Money.
What is it? Okay. Money. And let me say this. Money is not wrong.
No.
Prosperity is not wrong. Having good things is not wrong. But if you put these things before Christ, Jesus, and you put these things instead of Christ, all right, you have created an idol. So you are worshiping those things. You are not worshiping Christ. And if you are listening to anybody, I say anybody, and the only thing you want to hear
is money.
Is about money or what you want to do. So I'll give it this way. If you believe in getting drunk, but you want to be saved, but you don't want to let go of that liquor, then you're going to go to some kind of
preacher
or somebody that's going to tell you that that's okay.
Yeah.
And it goes the same way with
money,
promiscuity. You're going to go where you can hear what you want to hear.
Well, tell them about the preacher, what we just saw. With open marriage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me go on. Now, what I'm getting ready to say is going to sound crazy, but it's true. It's real. Who was this, Monique? I'm going to say it because they put
she
it out
public.
Over the air. She
yeah.
came public with this thing. Monique and her husband, she was on a Christian program. It's called The Preachers. She was on a Christian program called The Preachers, Monique and her husband, and they were on there talking about open marriages. Now, we know what an open marriage is, or if you don't know, I'm going to tell you. An open marriage is a marriage where both parties just go out with anybody.
Go out and have sex.
They go...
Yeah, have sex.
Yeah, they go out with anybody, and they're promiscuous. So, you know, if she say, well, the buddy boy, I'm gonna, so-and-so is coming to the house tonight, and he say, okay, well, you know, sister so-and-so is coming to the house tonight, okay, you be over there, I'll be over there, and we got that agreement. Now, something like that should not have even been on the preacher's program like
right.
that. But if it was on that program, those preachers should have said, Monique, I can't agree with that, and that's against the teachings of Christ. That is adultery and fornication, and if you don't repent of that, you're going to be lost. But that's not what they said. One of them did say that wouldn't work in his house because we'd be divorced. He really didn't, but they didn't, and but
they didn't condemn
they it. Really didn't condemn it. And the other preacher, this
Jamal
Bryant, and the reason I'm saying this is because they came public with it. It's already out there. He was agreeing with it. He was looking at his wife like,
hey, we gonna get out like
that? I mean, this is something that we might want. No.
They should have.
No.
What did you just read? Read Timothy again about reproof and rebuke.
Yes. Yes, sir. Covetous, it said reprove, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Preach instant, in season and out of season. So what he's saying is when error is present in the body of Christ, we need to address it. We don't go along with it. You can't compromise Now, that don't mean that you hate people. You love people, but you can't agree. Believers cannot agree with everything that goes on in the world, especially when it's anti-Christ. We got to stand and tell the truth. And the truth is Christ.
Amen.
The truth is Jesus. Now, you know, some, you know, people are interested because they think, some people think that because they don't believe in a thing, that that makes it not real or not true, you know? So when you start talking to people about Jesus, about God, about the Word of God, some people believe that, well, I don't believe in Jesus like that. I don't believe the Word of God is true.
But that's an unbeliever.
Yeah, that's an unbeliever, and that's not going to change the fact of who Jesus is and change the fact of the truth of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Some people might not believe in all this hoodoo, voodoo, and all this other stuff that's going on, but it's real. Some people might not believe in demons, but they're real. Some people might not believe in the angels of the living God, but they're real. So what you...
Beware how you entertain strangers, for some have what?
Entertain angels unaware. See? Now, I'll go to 2 Peter 2, and I'm just bringing out the word. I'm just bringing out the word. See, this is the word of God. I'm not just making up stuff. You know, 2 Peter 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, that's what's happening right now. The truth of the Word of God is being evil spoken of.
Perverted.
And you hear it daily. It's even being perverted. It's being twisted. Yes, it's being twisted. For a lot of people don't even want to believe the Word of God because folks are speaking so evil of it. But that doesn't change the truth. But listen to this. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, did you hear that? And through covetousness they shall feign words and make merchandise of you. Get in this $1,000 line. You want to be blessed? You want to be healed? You want to be set free? Give me a $1,000 seed offering. If you put in 2,000 seed offering, everybody in your house going to be saved.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Liars.
You give me $3,000 or $4,000 seed offering, tithe offering, seed offering, even your dog going to be saved. Oh, hallelujah.
Okay, well. I know. You
hear that all the time.
You know, and people is gullible, and they want a miracle so bad that they'll give their rent money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God ain't told you to give your rent money like that.
Mm-mm.
Now, we do give.
Mm-hmm.
We do have faith. We mm-hmm. do believe in giving. But when it comes to that, they should not be manipulating you to get you to give. Really,
Amen.
Is just to bring it up on their own lust.
That's right.
Amen. So, yeah, we're going to switch tables here. And then we're going to open the phone lines in a few minutes. But, you know, and I apologize for tonight, how I tell you, the devil be all on this internet sometimes. We just have to rebuke. But, yeah, on the 28th, I want to just make this announcement. We will have Bishop Earthquake on the program, and he will be talking about breaking the Nemos cycle. Nemos, N, capital N, apostrophe M-O-S. The reason he called it the Nemos cycle, because when he was in witchcraft, voodoo, whatever, there were spells that they would send out on people, and people were so naive of
what is going on in their lives. Why am I in this cycle? Why do I keep getting divorced? Why do I keep having problems with men? It's a cycle. It's a cycle. So he has to picture like a tornado. So if you could picture that or visualize that, that is called a Nema cycle. And he's going to be teaching on that, which is going to be Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. So be sure to tune in. But as we were just continuing on in our discussion tonight, warning, that's why we got the warning sign, to the church, beware of false prophets. And as Bishop was saying earlier, it is sweeping the body of Christ. You can't hardly even cut on the television without seeing something false. Like you said, they're going to bring you about 99% truth. But you better know the word, because if you don't know the word, you'll be sucked up in it. So I wanted to just read a few scriptures, and then I'll turn it back over to him. Pastor, he could pray and close us out, or we're going to open the phone lines. If you have questions, look, like I told you before, we do pray. We do cast out devils. But if you get the word in you, then you shouldn't be tormented by demons.
Mm-hmm.
Because the word of God will drive out these evil spirits.
You know,
so they asked the question today, why is the body of Christ, why is there so many Christians demon-possessed? I wouldn't say possessed, demonized. And the reason being, a lot of times they don't want to repent. They want to hold on to their sin. So they open doors that's going to allow these demons to come into their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You got to close these doors. If there's hidden sin that you're not repenting of, you're going to have to know you got to close the doors, or you're going to always be tormented with evil spirits. You're going to always be having night terrors where you can't sleep, or you got these spirits coming. Oh, it's real. It sounds like it's something on The Exorcist. Look, Hollywood is tapping into it. Hollywood is already tapping in. They already got The Exorcist 2, The Nun 2, all these demonic. So I think we have a caller. Let me, now look, I'm not good with this switchboard. Click them in. Caller, you on the air? Can you hear?
I can hear you.
Okay. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes. Yeah, I have a question.
Okay. And we
get first of all, I wanted to say,
could you cut your phone down? We get feedback.
Okay.
Yeah, cut your phone down. The volume.
Okay, so can you hear me?
I can hear
you
now.
Very well.
Okay. First of all, I wanted to say, it was a great, great word about deception and designated people in the church. I think that is really true, and this is what we see a lot. And I was just hearing when you said it is so important to know the word, but how can you tell somebody that doesn't know the word as well as others, what are the first red flags to notice that deception is going on in the church?
Okay. You will know that by, like Jesus said, you know that by how they speak and how they act when they're not in the pulpit or when they're not in the position.
They're not going to get close to them.
Yeah. And see, the thing about that, you just listen to them. And you watch them, and you continue to know your words, because you not only will you know the tree by the fruit that it bears, but you'll know a person from the way they speak and what they speak.
And what all if all they talking about is money and foolishness? Because I want to read this and a lot of times, this is not to put anybody on blast. It's not to judge people. But if you got the Holy Ghost in you, you're going to feel something in your spirit that is not right. A lot of times, God will speak to you even before you even say, hey, is something right about this? I don't feel good in my spirit. Mm-hmm. And like he said, they'll come as an angel of light. They'll come like, that's why the false prophets, they come with the shiny suits, the beautiful, everything glitz and glamour is to deceive you so you won't really hear what they're saying. And this is what the Bible say, Titus 1:6-16, he said, an elder must be blameless. That don't mean they perfect, but their life should be an open book.
Mm-hmm.
He said, faithful to his wife. I ain't talking about one wife at a time. You got a lot of these so-called bishops, they got the divorced wife. They done been married 2 and 3 times. They get sick of the old wife and they get the new secretary. Let's go on. A man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are some of the things that they set up in the church. A lot of times, these mega churches, you ain't going to get close to that pastor. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to judge by what he speaks. As he teach the word, you follow along with it. And then you go home. In the old days, the wife will go home and say, honey, what did he mean by this? That's why your husband is he's like your headship.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't understand something or something that was said, go to your husband, a man of God. I ain't talking about a heathen. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of heathens, they don't want you to go to church no way. and he say, since he's an overseer, meaning over God's people, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered. Listen. Not given to drunkenness, not violence. You say, well, I don't know this man like that. I just see him on Sunday, 20 minutes on the Sunday, quick sermonette.
Mm-hmm.
Not pursuing dishonest gain, money. Rather, he must be self-controlled, upright, holy. You're going to know how a lot of these preachers are about how they talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you with this young man in Atlanta, big mega church, packed to the brim. Now, you know doggone well when he said he want to create a marijuana field to draw all the black men here in Atlanta. Now, do that sound scripture? I mean, do you need to be a scholar in the word to know that that's foolishness? They're going to tell on themselves. The devil always tell on himself.
That's right.
I mean, he's going to show you I'm lying. I just got on a shiny suit. I got this big mega church. Look, every mega church is not ordained by God. Okay? And that's what, like Pastor said earlier, people seek out churches that's going to tickle their ear.
Yeah.
So if in your heart you're greedy for money, you're going to go to a Creflo Dollar or you're going to go to somebody that all they teach about is money. They ain't talking about your soul. They ain't talking about. See, God say you can't take the money and all this material stuff with you anyway.
That's true.
So these are some of the things you, and like I say, everybody is different. Some of them might be coming with a false doctrine. Now they doing all this kundalini and they doing all this false healings, false prophesying, prophelying. You can go here. Okay, I hope that helped you out, sister.
It's your turn anyway. He's teaching.
Yeah, and what he was saying, my hand will be against the prophets who seek false visions and utter lying divination. I mean, they false
teachers. Yes, it is.
Prophecies that is not, God said they will not belong to the council of my people. Or be listed in the records of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. Okay? God said, but a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods back in Deuteronomy, mm-hmm. he said they're supposed to be put to death. So God wasn't playing with them.
Mm-mm.
And it never changed. You say, well, that was in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. Let me go here. It says 2 Peter. Well, you read that one. But Jeremiah, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. Didn't I just say that?
Mm-hmm.
All these New Age preachers, mm-hmm. what they tell you? Be a better you. Live your best life now. Every day is Friday. Come on now. He said, do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds. And he said, not from the mouth of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So these people is running to these false prophets. I mean, they want a word. Give me a word. There's one little lady, she's a young lady, and she tell you, if you want a big blessing, you got to sow a big seed. So in other words, if say your son or daughter, God forbid, is vexed or with a demon, and that's a big blessing, you're going to have to give about $10,000. You see what I'm saying? They're putting a price tag on the things of God. That's why God told them the things of God is not for sale. You can't market the things of God. Freely you receive, freely you give. We give this word freely. Now, if you want to give, we don't even say so. We say if you want to give something to the Kingdom of God ministry, by all means, bless you. But we're not putting a price tag on the word of God. If you need deliverance, if you need healing, you call us. We got a Kingdom of God ministry 77@gmail.com. Send us a text or call us, and we will pray with you. Because deliverance is a labor of love. You know, big mega preachers, you ain't gonna be able to go to them. You know, they kind of like that Nicodemus spirit. They'll come, you have to go to them by night, because they ain't gonna that's dirty work. Casting devils out of people? Mm-hmm. No. They gotta have their 30 minutes of looking good, you know. On Sunday, they ain't going to be down there casting no devil out of you and you spitting up and acting up. They ain't got time for it. So they'll send you to the little nighttime preachers. We get these calls, you know, Bishop and I, we be get calls like 1 o'clock in the morning where them things be tormenting them, you know, and that's when they usually start around 12 o'clock. You know, people sleep and you get a call. So hear some in the background hollering, you know. They want quick deliverance, but they don't want to come out of sin. That's the first thing we say. You got to be saved. If you want these demons to stop tormenting you at night, you need to be saved. You need to humble yourself, repent, okay? And he said, God said, don't listen to them. He said, to what the prophets are prophesying to you. He said, they fill you with false hope. They lie to you about this money. This is the biggest thing that I see in the body of Christ. This is all they talk about now. Money, material gain, not about your soul. Look, we're in the last days, for real. We were just looking at the news where Israel has been bombed. They have war. These are the signs that you look for. War, rumors of wars. And people is walking around la-li-la, ha-ha-ha. And look, this age is ending. It's coming to a close. And we're only caught up on me, gimme, gimme, gimme. No, if that's where I'm at in the church and that's all you talk about, but I don't see devils being cast out, I don't see people being healed, I would just pray to God, give me release, Lord. Show me where you want me to be. I need the word. Because when it all boiled down and said, this material stuff, you can't take it with you. Only the word of God. I mean, we come up in some weird things. We've been in the ministry now for over 40 years. But believe me, we saw some crazy stuff going on. But now, as we were saying, I ain't never seen stuff so crazy in the body of Christ. YouTube, I mean, it's saturated with lunatics claiming to be spiritual.
No.
All right. And in 2 Peter, did you read that?
No.
I'm going to read 2 Peter 3:14-18. It says, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort. Now, this is not the King James. This is, I think it's the word translation. So if you prefer King James, we do usually King James, but I thought this one would bring it out more. But it's 2 Peter 3:14-18. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking to them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which are ignorant and unstable people distort. You see that? And you see it now. If they don't understand what he's saying, they're going to just distort it and twist the word.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it means now. As they do the other scriptures. Don't you see it now? Don't you see how they twist the scriptures to fit them? I mean, scriptures that is plain as day. These lying prophets are going to twist that scripture. Just like he did with Eve. Well, he didn't. He said, surely you won't die. That's what the devil told her. Didn't he say that? God told him, the day you eat of this tree or fruit, you will die.
Surely.
Paraphrase. He says, surely you will die. And here comes Satan. He said, you are. Can you find that? Because I don't want to misinterpret it. Get the Bible. But he said, what God had told them, see, this is what I'm saying. And people think Eve was just walking around naive and stupid. No, they had been walking with God for a long time.
Yep.
She knew the word. Adam knew the word. But that demon, that serpent, tickled her ear because that's what she wanted to hear. They were naive, like just babes in Christ, like, oh, really? No, they knew.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God punished them. He punished all three of them because they knew better. And this is what I'm saying to some of the people in the church. You know better. You know some of these people are lying. You know that the scriptures don't say that. But rather than say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to give us leadership where we need to be, you sit in that and you got it. All right, Bishop, going to read
Listen,
that.
Now the serpent was more.
Yeah, he'll read that out.
Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God gave, that the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
Mm.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
Wait, hold.
Yeah. That's
but God told him, you shall die. And see how that lying spirit.
Well, see, here's the thing right here. And I'm going to say this. You see how Satan twisted the word.
He sure did.
False prophets, false teachers, anybody who's false, gonna twist the word that would benefit them. They will twist the word that won't benefit you.
Yeah.
And here it is at the beginning. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
Mm.
In other words, he called God a liar.
He did.
He called God a liar, and the woman, wait a minute, you got to think about that, wait a minute now, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then she said, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil.
Mm.
But see, here's the thing. Adam and Eve, at that time, they only knew good.
Yeah.
Their eyes were already opened. They were as close to God as they could ever be.
And let me just tell them that. You said eyes. And now there's a false teaching that's been intertwined in Christians about this third eye. If you hear anybody talking about that, do not participate. It's a third eye that they say that third eye open and give you more revelation. You just need the Holy Ghost. You don't need no third eye, okay? But this is some of this New Age foolishness, but it's being intertwined in the body of Christ. Now you got yoga and you got all this foolishness going on in the body of Christ. You could go on.
Okay,
all right. So we're going to read this Ezekiel. And he said, Ezekiel 13:9. I'm going to bring this out. Then we'll open the phone lines. If no one called in, we'll pray and close it out today. But he said, Ezekiel 13:9, and my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies, that lying. This is all he talked about, meaning by his hand, not the true spirit of prophecy, attended with a divine power and energy. Didn't I just say that about this new age? This power opening your third eye. And we were talking today, people would rather run to witchcraft or what you call that, madam, where they got the hands in the palm readers and sorcerers and mediums. They'd rather go there than go to the power of God or seek God's power, because they want a quick fix. When you see Hollywood and a lot of these entertainers have sold their souls to the devil, and Katy Perry said, I went to the devil because I wanted to be rich. And God, in so many words, was taking too long. So they'll sell out, and they'll find the churches that we was talking about to have them singing at their church. This young man here in Atlanta, he's known for having all kinds of secular singers up in his church. And I don't even know how people could sit in his church unless they don't have the Spirit of God in them. Because if you got the Spirit of God, some of this stuff this young man is talking about, you couldn't even sit in that. So let me read on. He said, meaning by his hand, not the true spirit of prophecy, attended with a divine power and energy. This is all they talk about. Pull the energy down. This power of energy. Energy? The only power I want is the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen? So that's in Ezekiel 1:3, then 3:14. But the wrath and the power of God seizing on them and punishing them. See, God didn't take this stuff lightly. Yeah, you might be in your pulpit right now. You know you're preaching lies. And you know you're deceiving God's people. But God is going to come with swift judgment to you. And I don't know who out there listening to me, but if you're teaching these lies to God's people, he is tired of it. Amen? He says, so Targum, and the word Targum, T-A-R-G-U-M, is really just an interpretation or a Hebrew language. He said, and the stroke of my power shall be upon the false prophets. The sense is they should feel the weight of God's hands and the lightning down of his arm. My God, he gonna judge you with the indignation of his wrath by inflicting punishment upon them. You're not getting away. Yeah, you got your big 30,000 square foot homes now and your Lamborghinis and your 5 Learjets. But God is going to, he said, the weight of my arm is coming down on you. So when I crash this mess, it's going to be crashed. Amen? Woo! He said, they shall not be in the assembly of my people.
Mm-hmm.
Shall have no place in the church. Now, this is the Lord speaking. Shall have no place in the church of God, nor fellowship with the saints. They shall not join with them in religious worship here, but either shall be left by the righteous judgments of God to separate themselves from them, or shall be excluded their communion, and much less they shall stand in the congregation of the righteous hereafter. So God's going to judge them.
Amen.
And that's what he's saying. God is going to judge you because all it has done in the last 40 years, I mean, there has been such a great falling away. People don't even see God for the truth. They seeking him for things, for material stuff. You know, there used to be a hunger for God. Now the average person, they say, this was a base Christian nation. But now people don't even believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because the church has, they say, well, everybody go to church, they hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say all the time, God gonna judge you for you. You can't tell. You can't use that excuse, Lord, I didn't come to church because there's too many hypocrites. You can worship God in the privacy of your home. But that's an excuse you just say because you don't want to go to church.
You don't want to be saved.
You don't want to be saved. You don't want to stop sinning. you think, well, I'm losing something if I stop sinning, if I stop fornicating, if I stop sleeping around. Look, one day you're going to give an account. I'm talking to you false preachers, talking to you adulterers that are sitting up in the church lying on God, saying you can have sex outside of your marriage. You're lying on the Lord, and you better stop it. Yeah, we coming strong. This is Evangelist Kathy, and I know y'all don't get this in a lot of your churches, but this foolishness has got to stop. You're doing all these fake demonic, look, and I'm going to say this, and I see a lot of casting out devils on some of these YouTube channels, but we have encountered true demon possession. And I'm going to tell you something. If you ever encounter real demon possession, you know when it's real. But a lot of this stuff you see on YouTube is sensationalism. They pay actors to act the fool. But when you ever really come into a demon, you're going to know. You can even look at the eyes. There was one incident where the young lady was possessed, and I was talking to her, and when I looked in her eyes, I could see something looking back through her eyes. It was another person looking through her eyes. And I told my husband, then when I called her name, then that thing was so evil looking at me. And then it snapped out of it, and then you could see her true eyes came in there. Look, demon possession is nothing to play with, but I told you, Hollywood is marketing on it. Mm-hmm. Every time you come on TV, they got, The Exorcist 2 now? Mm-hmm. And this is the thing I get sick of, because they have the church where they're getting beat down by the devil. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
We shouldn't be getting beat down by the devil. He said, put on the whole armor of God. So if you know somebody that is bound up, yes, we do cast out devils, but we're going to give you the word and we're going to tell you to repent. But we don't just teach or sensationalize demon possession. Amen? So this is what God is saying to the false prophets, the false teachers. False seducing spirits that come into churches. We're going to pray tonight, because God said there's like a bewitching spirit over you. You got to break that spirit of bewitchment. You know, there was a program come on long years ago called Bewitched. Mm-hmm. And we naive young folk, we didn't know what it was, but they was putting that witchcraft spirit in you right then, and you didn't even realize it. Mm-hmm. Making it cute, because she was a cute little witch, and you know, stuff like that. Nothing about the witchcraft side or dark energy or any of that is cute. It's all demonic. I don't care how the devil dress it up, it's demonic. And we need the third eye. If you practicing some kind of third eye, you're using sage to sprinkle around your house, all this stuff is demonic. I'm telling you, I come up in it. My grandmother, she would tell us, you put a horseshoe and some of that stuff, a horseshoe over your door, keep the evil spirits out. Look, the thing going to keep the evil spirits out is the word of God. Jesus. Sprinkle salt around your door. No, the word of God. Okay? You don't have to do all that. If you got the Holy Ghost in you, that's going to keep demons out of your house. If you repent of your sin, that's going to keep it out of your temple. Demonized. No, you might not be possessed, but what I'm saying is you're controlled by the devil. Whatever the devil tell your flesh to do, that's what you're going to do. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to open the lines if you got a call, or if not, we'll pray and we're going to close it up.
Amen. Our call, host call in line is 425-292-4444. That's 425. The guest call, the guest call-in number is 319-527-6058. Sorry about that. The guest call-in number is 319-527-6058. If you have some questions or some comments, now's the time you can call in that number, and we'll be more than happy to assist you in the question
or
comment.
Prayer or
anything of that nature.
But be sure to join us on the 28th. Now, we'll be on next Saturday as well, but our special guest will be on the 28th of October at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, talking about the Nemos cycle. You know, a lot of times we do be in a cycle and we can't get out the cycle. And a lot of people just don't know how to get out of the cycle. They're going around and around and around and around, making the same mistake over and over. So this brother, he's been deep into this, and he's going to be bringing some insight on how to break this cycle out of your life. It could be a poverty cycle. Some of these things been passed down from generation to generation, and you don't know how to get out of it.
That's right.
You don't know how to break it. I know one particular person, four generations, nobody was ever married. Four.
It's a generation.
So what would that be? The great-grandmother, the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Never married.
That's true. And these are the things that need to be. Everything that we've talked about tonight is evident in the Word,
mm-hmm.
and it needs to be addressed. If you don't know what's going on, then you won't address it. You won't fix it.
Well,
if you
won't know.
If you don't know something is broken, you won't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why we went to warning to the church, beware of false prophets, because a false prophet will lead you into all the stuff we was talking about.
But what do you say? My people are destroyed for what?
The lack of knowledge.
Amen.
Amen.
Because you don't know.
That's right.
But if God is leading you to people to help you to know, then when you come into the knowledge of the truth, walk in it.
Amen.
You know,
that's true. And
like I said, if you are somewhere and this is not to condemn nobody, but the Holy Spirit will talk to your spirit even before you can even say anything and say, something ain't right about what this person said or what she's doing. I mean, we've been looking at programs and supposed to be healers or whatever, and the Lord will tell us, cut that off. Say, something ain't right with that.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be a lot of confusion. Cut it off. Cut it off. Some of them just want vain glory.
All right.
Caller, okay.
All right. How do we have you?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
We're doing very well.
Well, I have two questions.
Yes.
First question is how to break a generational curse.
Okay.
And the second question is how do you know you have a generational curse in your life if you're a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost?
Okay.
All right, Bishop. Pastor.
All right. For one thing, a generational curse, how you know this, if you have something, the same thing that happened from generation to generation to generation. In other words, I say it like this. Okay, if your mother, maybe she got cancer, and the grandmother got cancer, and the great-grandmother got cancer, and another two or three generations, somebody was always getting cancer, then that's a good indication that that particular cancerous spirit has attached to that family. Now that's just cancer.
Nemos.
It's in there. Okay. So, and it's the same thing. Okay. And I'll give you another example. Poverty. Okay. Say you're poverty stricken. Your father was poverty stricken. His father was poverty stricken. And his father before him was poverty stricken. In other words, every generation would just lose money. They would make money and they would just lose as quick as they get it. That's a generational spirit.
Amen.
Now, you say how you break it? Well, you have to go to the Lord. You have to repent. You have to break it off you in the name of Jesus. You bind up the spirit. You renounce that spirit. You denounce that spirit. You rebuke it. You bind it up. You rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You plead the blood of Jesus against that thing.
And
from back to four or five generations,
or
back as far as your generations exist, you bind it up, you cast out, you plead the blood of Jesus against it, and you renounce it, and you denounce it, and you receive Christ in it. That's how you do it.
Well, how would you break that off of your kids?
Same way. The same way. Because if it's on your child, that's just that child hasn't gone through them generations. With that child is with you. But you can go back all those generations and break that off of them and plead the blood of Jesus, and that will do it. And then you'll see the breaking.
And there's, because in my family, it was a lot of alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother was alcoholic. My dad drunk. My brother's alcoholic. But I'm not an alcoholic. Why? Because when I came into Christ, a lot of that stuff, I didn't receive it.
Yeah.
I had to break it. My grandmother, they was spiritualists, but they did a lot of hoodoo, voodoo, stuff that we thought was just old wives' tales.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come into knowledge of the Christ, he tell you that stuff ain't right. Mm-hmm. Like I say, you ain't got to go to the four forks of the road and sell your soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people selling their soul right now for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, well, visit, I can't find the scripture, to the third and fourth generation. That's when you don't know God.
Yeah.
Now, when you come into the knowledge of the truth, like Bishop say, you break it.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, this stuff is not going to be on my children. I'm not speaking this over my children.
That's right.
You're not going to be an alcoholic. You're not going to be four generations of never marrying.
Yeah.
Who told you that?
That's right.
Who don't lie to you and say you're not worthy?
Mm-hmm.
So I have seen four and five generations, nobody married. They got kids,
mm-hmm.
but nobody married.
Yeah.
They can't stay married.
It has to be broken.
You got to break these things. You have to recognize, pray to the Holy Spirit. He'll reveal this to you. Like he said, there's been diabetes in my family. Four, five, six generations. Now, some of it can be from bad eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of this stuff is not generational curses.
Yeah.
Some like diabetes and some of that is just ignorance. You just won't eat right.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about this deep stuff, witchcraft,
and
then you got the cancer spreading, and you don't know where this stuff coming from.
Yep.
You have to break that.
Yeah.
Amen?
You break it in the name of Jesus by denouncing
mm-hmm.
and renouncing and rebuking it.
Right.
And pleading the blood of Jesus
and it's not coming near my family. I'm not gonna have it.
That's it.
You know, but a lot of times Christians, we just take stuff, well, my grandmama had it, so I guess I'm gonna die from it too. The devil is a liar.
You don't accept it and you don't receive it, and you go by the word of God. Look it up because it's in the word.
Mm-hmm.
You can look it up in the word and find
Amen.
It and
Amen.
Then address it that way.
Amen.
All right. And that's how that works.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope that helped you, brother.
Did that help? Yeah, I guess it did.
All right.
Okay. All right. We have another call-in number. Call-in number is 31. Guest call-in number is 319-527-6058. That's 319-527-6058. And I'd like to thank, before I go any further, I'd like to thank everyone who has listened to the program. All the people that called in, I want to thank you all for calling. I pray that something has been said that would bless and uplift you and break something off you and give you a desire to grow in the things of God and give you a desire to fight and be strong in the things of God. The scripture tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because to be truthful, we don't have any real power other than the power of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all our strength and power is in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank God for that.
And a scripture that the brother, when he called, I had to find it, but it says generational curses is in several places. So you can write these scriptures down. Exodus 20 and 5, Exodus 34 and 7, Numbers 14:18, Deuteronomy 5:9. It said God warns that he is a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me.
Hmm.
So a lot of times what he's saying is that, so a fourth generation would be like the great-great-grandfather.
Yeah,
so if
right.
they were practicing witchcraft, that God identifies that as hating him. They were not God worshippers.
Yeah.
So So that spirit is going to go down that lineage.
That family line.
What? The second great-grandfather, great-grandfather, then the grandfather, then the son, and then his son. That's four generations. You hear what the word said? Those that hate me. So if they were not God-fearing people practicing all this, or drunkenness or fornication, goes down the line. You got to break it. You can see it when it starts rearing its ugly head in your children.
And how you break that is first of all, you have to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, repent, get saved, get full of the Spirit, and then you can come against those things.
And this is what it said. The effects of sin are naturally passed down from, just like good traits can be passed down, sin can be passed down from one generation to the next. When a father has a sinful lifestyle, his children are likely to practice the same sinful lifestyle because kids learn what they live with. If the household is fornicating, them kids gonna be fornicators. Nine times out of ten, because they grew up in it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a lot of drunkenness, a lot of times the kids gonna be drunk. This is what they learn.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
That's true.
It's implied, the warning of Exodus. So read those scriptures, what I had told you earlier, and God wants that. But it can be broken because we're under the grace of God. You can break that. When you come into the knowledge of God, you can break this stuff off your life.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am a witness, my husband a witness.
Mm-hmm.
We're living testimonies. How you don't have to walk in the sins of your forefathers.
That's right.
You can break it. You can break it off your life. You don't have to be a slave to it.
That's right.
You don't have to live in sin. You can break that off your life. You don't
Amen.
Have to live in adultery. You can break that off your life. So I gave you those scriptures. I'll give them to you one more time so you can write them down and study. This is what the Lord said. We got to study to show ourselves approved. Amen. So it's Exodus 20 and 5, Exodus 34 and 7, Numbers 14, 18, Deuteronomy 5 and 9. Now I'm going to tell you about the spirit of poverty. It followed my generation, my family, but we had to break that. When we left this God, it was a depressed area, East St. Louis. We didn't have a whole lot of money, but my husband would say we were doing bad. I mean, we thought we were doing, we knew we were doing bad, you know. But he said, you know, we got a little lump sum, and he said we gonna go to Georgia because where we were was a lot of murder, was a lot of killings mm-hmm. all the time, people breaking in our homes. I mean, we were church going people. They were still breaking our homes, a lot of murders, gang violence. So we took the little money we had. How much we had? About $3,000?
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
We were in at a big U-Haul, and we packed all we had, and we came to Atlanta. That's been 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, when we broke that cycle, when we left East St. Louis, it was like a dark cloud lifted off of us.
Mm-hmm.
And people were saying, oh, you'll be back. You see how people try to speak them word curses? We ain't looked back. Our life has been an upward cycle. Sometimes you have to get out of a situation. If you know you're not being blessed in that area, it's poverty, it's negativity, get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And God has been with us these 35 years. I haven't looked back.
That's right.
It's been upward mobility. This is how you break the cycle of poverty. Sometimes it might feel a little, you know, when God told Abraham, go so I can bless you and your family. Sometimes you just have to step out on faith.
Amen.
But like my husband said, when we left, he said, I know it couldn't be any worse than here.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like doors were shut. We was making it, but we weren't living above all that God had for us.
That's
I'm going to just say it like that.
That's right.
You know, and when we stepped out on faith and we rented that U-Haul and we came down to Atlanta, that's when things, the doors start opening. So sometimes you got to get out of that rut. Don't just stay in that just because your grandmother or your grandfather was there. You got to break out of it.
You got to break out and you got to obey the Lord and do what the Lord says, and you'll be blessed.
That's right. Even in lifestyles, if you know some of your relatives is drunk, and you don't hate them. But if you know you're already subject to that kind of spirit, don't even go around them. Don't even entertain it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to just get away from it. If you're weak to it, I would suggest don't even be caught up in it.
That's right. Amen. Well, we have a few minutes. Guest call in 319-527-6058.
Don't pray.
But then again, we're going to just pray and close out. And as I said, I thank the Lord for everyone that has listened on tonight. I pray that God has touched someone and uplifted someone and given someone strength to go on. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for everything that was said on tonight.
Amen.
We thank you for the people that was listening on tonight.
Yes.
And, Father God, right now we're going to pray and come against every spirit that is not of God.
Yes.
We come against spirits of depression, spirits of oppression.
Yes.
We come against hindering spirits.
Yes.
We come against everything. We come against the spirit of fear.
Yes.
All in the name of Jesus. Yes. We come against brokenheartedness.
Yes.
We ask that God mend the broken heart.
Yes.
We come against confusion.
Yes.
And mental confusion. We come against that. We bind that up in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Any spirit that is hurting and harming people, we bind it up and we cast it out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ
of
Nazareth. We come against terrorizing spirits. We bind that up and we cast it out right now in the name of Jesus.
Getting the word
spirits of witchcraft.
Yes.
And witchcraft. We bind it up, we plead the blood of Jesus against it, and we cast it out in Jesus' name. The spirits of confusion, we bind it up and we cast it out, we plead the blood of Jesus against it right now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. In the name of
Jesus.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we pray amen and amen. Now, remember, we have a special guest, October 28th, Earthquake Kelly. He's going to be talking about that Nemal spirit. And we ask again that you join us again next week, 7:30, same time. And we'll be coming with you with another broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you, and
be blessed.
Be blessed, and goodbye.
Good night. Have a good evening.